Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Planet Money: A Guide to the Economic Forces That Shape Your Life, is a popular economics primer by longtime Planet Money contributor Alex Mayasi and the team behind the NPR program. The book translates the reporting style of the podcast into a narrative guide to everyday economic forces, using real examples rather than formal textbook exposition. Its subject is broad markets, incentives, labor, technology, housing, wealth building, supply chains, and the institutions that shape individual choices. The purpose is not to train readers in technical economics, but to help them recognize economic logic in ordinary situations. From dating markets and professional sports contracts to artificial intelligence and global production networks, the book belongs to the accessible nonfiction tradition of explanatory economics, but its distinctive feature is journalistic storytelling. It treats economics as a practical way to analyze human behavior, trade-offs, scarcity, incentives, and unintended consequences in daily life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, economics as a study of choices, incentives, and human behavior. A central theme of Planet Money: A Guide to the Economic Forces That Shape Your Life is that economics is not limited to finance, stock markets, or government statistics. The book presents economics as a framework for understanding how people respond to incentives under constraints. That approach lets the authors connect large economic ideas to decisions that feel personal and ordinary. Prices, wages, contracts, scarcity, and opportunity costs are treated as signals that guide behavior, not as abstract numbers detached from human life. This makes the book especially useful for readers who have avoided economics because it appeared technical or ideological. And, rather than beginning with equations or models, the book begins with situations in which people face trade-offs. The reasoning is concrete: when resources are limited, incentives shape choices, and choices aggregate into markets and institutions. This framing also explains why the book can move across very different topics without losing its economic focus, whether the subject is housing, technology, dating, or sports. The same analytical habit applies: identify the constraint, identify the incentive, and ask what behavior the system rewards. Secondly, everyday markets reveal how prices and preferences organize social life. The book uses familiar and unexpected markets to show that market logic appears in places many readers would not normally describe as economic. Dating markets, professional sports contracts, and personal wealth decisions become ways to examine matching, risk, bargaining power, and long-term value. This approach is effective because it avoids treating markets as impersonal machines. A market is shown as a structure that organizes preferences, information, scarcity, and negotiation. In dating, for example, the economic lens helps clarify how people search, signal, choose, and face trade-offs without reducing relationships to money. In sports contracts, financial terms illuminate risk allocation, incentives, and the difference between short-term rewards and compounding gains. The practical value of these examples is that they help readers notice hidden market features in daily choices. The book is not claiming that all human relationships should be commercialized. Instead, it shows that economic tools can explain how options are ranked, how information matters, and how institutions influence outcomes. This gives readers a more precise vocabulary for decisions they already make. Thirdly, supply chains and cartels expose the hidden systems behind ordinary goods. One of the most distinctive features of the book is its interest in the invisible systems that make ordinary products possible. The reported examples described in public materials include a smartphone factory in Patagonia and a raisin cartel in California. These cases point to two different but related economic lessons. Supply chains show how production is distributed across locations, firms, workers, materials, laws, and transport networks. A finished consumer good can look simple, yet its price and availability reflect layers of coordination and risk. Cartels show the opposite problem when market participants coordinate to restrict competition. Prices and quantities can be distorted. Together, these examples help readers understand that markets do not operate in a vacuum. They depend on rules, enforcement, logistics, information flows, and sometimes attempts to manipulate scarcity. The concrete reasoning is important because it turns broad claims about globalization or market power into observable mechanisms. Readers see that the economy is not a single abstract entity. It is a web of arrangements that can produce efficiency, vulnerability, innovation, exploitation, or artificial scarcity depending on how incentives are structured. Fourthly, artificial intelligence and labor are framed through economic adaptation rather than hype. The book addresses artificial intelligence as part of a longer economic question: how new technologies change work, wages, productivity, and bargaining power. Its value lies in treating AI neither as a guaranteed disaster nor as a simple engine of abundance. The economic issue is not only whether machines can perform certain tasks, but which tasks become cheaper, which skills become more valuable, and who captures the gains from increased productivity. This framing helps separate technological capability from labor market consequences. A tool may augment some workers, replace others, and create new demand in areas that are difficult to predict. The book, therefore, encourages readers to think in terms of substitution, complementarity, and adjustment costs. This is more useful than asking whether AI is good or bad in general. It also connects individual career concerns to larger institutional questions, such as training, wage distribution, firm power, and the pace of adoption. By placing AI inside economic history and labor market logic, the book gives readers a calmer and more analytical way to evaluate technological change. Lastly, housing and wealth building show how institutions shape personal outcomes. The book extends its analysis beyond individual choices by examining how institutions shape the options available to people. Public descriptions highlight an indigenous reserve in Canada as a case connected to possible housing solutions, along with examples about contracts and wealth accumulation. These subjects demonstrate that economic outcomes are not produced only by personal discipline or talent. Property rules, credit access, legal structures, community governance, and contract design can determine whether people are able to build assets or remain constrained by scarcity. This topic is important because it complicates simple advice about saving and investing. Personal choices matter, but they operate inside systems that can either reward patience and planning or make wealth building unusually difficult. Housing is especially revealing because it combines land, finance, regulation, local politics, and social need. The book uses these kinds of cases to show why economics must include institutions, not only individual preferences. For readers, the practical lesson is to look for the rule structure behind outcomes. When incentives and rights are designed differently, the range of possible choices can change dramatically. In conclusion, Planet Money: A Guide to the Economic Forces That Shape Your Life is best suited to readers who want an accessible, example-driven introduction to economics without the formality of a textbook. It will appeal to listeners of the NPR program, general nonfiction readers, students seeking an intuitive overview, and professionals who want sharper language for thinking about markets, technology, housing, and work. Its practical benefit is economic literacy readers learn to identify incentives, trade-offs, scarcity, market design, and institutional constraints in situations that, at first, seem unrelated to economics. Its intellectual benefit is a broader habit of analysis, one that connects personal decisions to systems of production, law, information, and power. Compared with many popular economics books, it stands out because it is built from journalistic reporting and narrative cases rather than a single grand theory. That structure makes the book lively and approachable, though readers looking for formal models or deep policy prescription may find it lighter than academic treatments. Its strength is translation. It turns economic ideas into concrete stories without abandoning analytical seriousness, making it a strong entry point for readers who want to see how economic forces operate in ordinary life. If you would like to support Alex Mayasi, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.